Kateri gumb pa pritisnem?
Tisti, na katerem piše OF.
Evropska unija in Japonska sklenili prostotrgovinski sporazum. Na Poljskem vladajoča stranka izvolila novega predsednika vlade. V Bruslju ponovno protesti v podporo Kataloniji. Grčija seli migrante z otokov na celino. O rudarjenju na Luni, genocidu in razprodaji mesta. V Bruslju se je zbralo okoli 50 tisoč ljudi, da bi izrazili podporo katalonski neodvisnosti in bivšemu predsedniku katalonske vlade Carlesu Puigdemonu. Španske oblasti so proti njemu vložile obtožnico, ki ga bremeni upora in nezakonitega prisvajanja sredstev iz javnega proračuna. Zaplet med Katalonijo in Španijo se je poglobil oktobra, ko je Katalonija na referendumu izglasovala neodvisnost. Španija referenduma ne priznava in je razpustila katalonske regionalne oblasti ter razpisala predčasne regionalne volitve 21. decembra. Puigdemonu bi se ob povratku v Katalonijo grozilo do 30 let zapora. Puigdemont in četverica ministrov ob začetku predvolilne kampanje ostajajo v Belgiji, dva ministra v razpuščeni katalonski vladi pa v španskem priporu. Grčija bo začela selitvijo 5000 migrantov z otokov na celino. Selitvijo prvih 1000 so že začeli. Med njimi so večinoma ženske, otroci, starejši in invalidi. Migranti so na slabe razmere v taborišču Morija že opozorili z enomesečno okupacijo trga v bližnjem mestu. Policija jo je nasilno razgnala, zato se je 34 migrantov odločilo za okupacijo pisarne vladne stranke Siriza. Okupacijo, ki traja že dva tedna, so izvedli v sodelovanju z antifašističnimi in solidarnostnimi organizacijami. Za pisarno so se odločili, ker je simbol grške vlade, ki jo krivijo za slabe razmere v taboriščih. Med problemi prednjačita prenaseljenost in hrana, ki ne dosega higienskih standardov. Migranti pravijo, da bodo z okupacijo nadaljevali, dokler oblasti ne bodo izboljšale razmer v taborišču Morija. Poljska vladajoča stranka je po odstopu premijejke Beate Šidlo izglasovala novega premijeja. To bo, kolikor ga naslednji teden potrdi še parlament, postal Mateusz Morawiecki. Od leta 2016 je bil finančni minister in je član vladajoče stranke Zakon in pravičnost. Razlogi za menjavo niso jasni, pojavljajo pa se tri mogoče razlage. Po prvi naj bi Beato Šidlo odslovil predsednika stranke oziroma predsednik stranke Jaroslav Kažinski, ki velja za odločevalca znotraj stranke. Druga možna razlaga je, da bi bil Morawiecki uspešnejši na gospodarskem področju. Po tretji razlagi pa naj bi bila poteza namenjena izboljšanju odnosov z Evropsko unijo. Lukaš Pavlovski iz portala Kultura liberalna ni prepričan o nobeno od teh treh razlag.
I will be honest with you, you won't find an answer because nobody really knows. There are a couple of hypotheses flowing in the air, but this is a very stunning, it's a stunning decision that nobody really understands. Because there are a couple of explanations, none of which, however, is entirely convincing. First of all, it is said that the chairman of the governing party, Law and Justice, Mr. Jarosław Kaczyński, has become impatient and fed up with the governing style of his nominee, Beata Szydło. She didn't have any authority within the party. She was a member only of the governing party with no political leverage over her ministers. So this kind of setup that was devised by Mr. Kaczyński, who was really the person in charge, somehow backfired, and it made governance hardly possible, because every minister, instead of consulting with the prime minister, would go straight to Mr. Kaczyński to discuss the most important matters with him personally, or would simply ignore both the prime minister and the chairman of the party. So this is one solution, one explanation. However, replacing Beata Szydło with Mateusz Morawiecki won't change much, because Mr. Morawiecki is also a newcomer to politics. He was a banker, a chairman of one of the biggest banks in Poland, and only joined Law and Justice in 2006. So he is not an experienced politician, and he will also need to rely completely on Mr. Kaczyński's support. So this is one explanation. The second is that the goal is to somehow advance economic plans of the ruling party. And Mr. Morawiecki has been so far the Minister for Development and Minister of Finance. So this explanation says that there is somehow a change in the attitude within the government, so a change of a change of what's most important for the government. Again, this is a flawed explanation, because I believe that Mr. Morawiecki would have more time to deal with the Polish economy as the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Development and Minister of Finance, rather than as a prime minister, because that will impose new duties on him. Again, another explanation says that the governing party would like to somehow improve its image or image of Poland in Western Europe. And Mr. Morawiecki, as I said, he is a former banker. He is quite fluent in English. He has some international connections. So he is a better face, a more business-friendly face of the he would be a more business-friendly face of the Polish government. Well, I don't really think that the partners in the West or the foreign partners will be fooled that easily. As I said, the bottom line is that still, the person deciding policies in Poland is the chairman Kaczyński, and Mr. Morawiecki has no political leverage. So just changing one person, changing the person of the prime minister will not fool our partners. So these are the three major explanations that are being discussed right now in the Polish public debate. But as I say, none of them is very convincing.
Evropska unija in Japonska sta končali pogajanja o prostotrgovinskem sporazumu. Glavna cilja sporazuma sta umik carin ter poenotenje japonskih in evropskih standardov. Kako bo sporazum vplival na različne gospodarske sektorje, pojasni Andrej Geniza.
V obeh primerih, tako za EU kot Japonsko, projekcije kažejo, da bodo najbolj pridobili sektori avtomobilske industrije in pa kemične industrije, tukaj tudi farmacija vključena. Na strani EU je večji del koristi bo prišel tudi za procesirano hrano in kmetijstvo, izvoz kmetijskih pridelkov, medtem ko je tretji največji sektor na strani Japonske elektronska oprema in pa stroji, ki bi pridobili za tem sporazumom.
Dogovor pa še ne vsebuje postopka o razreševanju sporov med vlagatelji in državami. Tudi o tem smo povprašali Andreja Gnezdo.
Ta del sporazuma, se pravi mehanizem ISDS, ki omogoča korporacijam, da tožijo države na zasebnih tribunalih, je začasno izključen iz sporazuma in ga v tej točki niso vključili. Dogovor je, da se v začetku leta 2018 vrnejo k mizi glede tega in verjetno kasneje vključijo ta del oziroma ta mehanizem tudi v sporazum. Težava je bila, ker je komisija predlagala reformirani sistem ICS, medtem ko je Japonska ustrajala pri starejšem sistemu znanem pod kratico ISDS. V praksi to tudi pomeni, da če ta mehanizem ne bo vključen v sporazum, potem tudi nacionalni parlamenti ne bodo ratificirali oziroma imeli pravice glasovanja odločanja o tem sporazumu, kar bi šlo za prvi primer sodobnega sporazuma, ki ga ne bi potem ratificirali nacionalni parlamenti. Tako da bomo videli, kakšen bo dogovor v prihodnjih mesecih glede tega mehanizma in ali bo vključen v sporazum.
Off sta spisala vajenca Matija in Petra.